Amen. Well, Father, thank you for those words. Tonight we're going to be doing a sharing on the life of Christ from birth until his ministry began. And we've got to realize that there's so many people knew about this, but it seems like when he started his ministry, nobody knew. So what happened? So what we're going to do is see how many people actually knew the Son of David, you know, which is promised for thousands of years, is here, is born. And, you know, that should have been the clock ticking. So by the time you're 30 years old, it's showtime.
Yeah.
You know, but it wasn't that way. And so we have to say, what was going on here? And so we're going to look at all the manifestations that everybody knew about him. So we're going to begin in, excuse me, Luke 1:13. Here, go get another. All right. Yeah, we got one. We got them all over the place. And Luke is always a foundational point. So we have, 30 hours you can go from Genesis to Revelation through the Word, historically. And so you read one gospel. If you're going to read one gospel, it's the Gospel of Luke, because it starts off with John the Immerser and his birth. Now the other gospels do that. And you go right into the book of Acts. So you go from Luke to Acts, and then you go right into the book of Revelation. And that tells the story, so it's got 30 hours. Most people go into the Gospel of John, and you don't ever start in the Gospel of John. You start at Luke. And so that's where we're starting today, on Luke. Luke 1:13. So this is John the Immerser with Zechariah. And we know, what was the purpose of John the Immerser? To prepare the way of Yahweh. And so, it's not to prepare, and what we're going to show you is, you know, say, prepare the way of the Lord, and he's quoting Isaiah, and it's not the Lord, it's the way of Yahweh. What was Christ's purpose? To prepare the way, and it still is, prepare the way for Yahweh. When does Yahweh come, finally?
At the end.
Melania?
End of it.
Yeah, when?
The thousand-year reign.
Judgment.
After the thousand-year reign, which is what chapter?
Revelations 24:21.
Mm-hmm. So Yahweh finally, after death is destroyed, we're not going there, but after death is destroyed, Yahweh can come to the earth, the new Jerusalem. So John the Immerser was preparing the way for Yahweh. Christ is preparing the way for Yahweh, and even now, because in the book of Revelation, what's he doing? Kicking butt.
Yeah.
Preparing the way to Yahweh, cleaning the house. The thousand-year reign, guess what? There's a mortal man still there, and they try to attack him, and what happens?
Fire comes
down from heaven and smokes him and kills him. Okay, now everything's complete. Now we do the judgment. You know, death and Sheol are thrown into the lake of fire, which is the second death. There is no more death, which makes Yahweh come down. So Yahweh comes to dwell in Zion. Okay, 1:13, and this is John the Immerser. But the messenger said unto him, Do not fear, Zechariah, inasmuch as thy supplication has been hearkened to, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bring forth a son to thee, and thou shalt call his name, and it's really Yohanan, it's John's. It's not the name, it's Yohanan, and Yo means Yahweh. Hanan means what?
Favor.
And so, Yahweh's favor, Yohanan. And there shall be joy to thee and exulting, and many over his birth shall rejoice, for he shall be great before Yahweh. And wine is strong drink, and no wise may he drink, and with the holy Ruach shall he be filled already from his mother's womb. So he's what, Aaron? He's a Nazarene.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah. No strong drink, no grapes.
The hair.
Yeah, and it doesn't say anything about the hair, but it does say that. Let me see here. Let me go to 17. And many of the sons of Israel shall turn towards Yahweh their Elohim. And
so
he shall.
What verse are you in?
16. Now I'm going to 17. And he shall go before him in the Ruach and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers unto children. and the unyielding unto the prudence of the righteous, and to prepare for Yahweh a people made ready. So we got to remember, Jerusalem is a bad place.
Yeah.
It's not a holy place. It's actually Satan's bunker. Because when Christ goes to Jerusalem, what happens?
He gets murdered.
They kill the Messiah. You're supposed to be a holy place. No, you're not a holy place. You are Satan's bunker. You know, what did they try to do to the apostles? They tried to kill the apostles. You know, what did Herod do with James? They killed Herod. What did they do with Stephen? They killed him. That is Jerusalem. So this is preparing the way for a revelation, which is supposed to be the day of Yahweh, where he comes to judge. And so John the Immerser prepares it for Christ. Christ prepares it for Yahweh, and judgment comes. Now we go to 39, that same chapter, 45. And this is just great, because now we know, okay, John the Immerser, he's there to prepare the way for Yahweh. All right, so this is obviously preparing the way for the Messiah also, and we're going to see Mary. And Mary arise in those days, journeyed into the hill country with haste, into the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary. And it's not Mary, it's Miriam. And so Mary is a... We got this. And so the Septuagint, 250 B.C. before Christ, changed Miriam in the Greek to Maria. And so whenever they change her name to Maria, and that's where we say Ave Maria, mm-hmm. You know, that's Catholics and everything else, then it got changed from Maria to Mary. But her name is actually Miriam. And the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with Ruach HaKodesh, and lifted up her voice with loud exclamation and said, now this is great, because this is about the Messiah, the Anointed One. So guess what? Zechariah knows about the coming Messiah. So we're talking about how many people knew about...
Elizabeth sure knew.
Yeah. Miriam knows. Elizabeth is going to know right here. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed be the fruit of thy womb. And whence to me is this, that the mother of my Lord, which is going to be Yahushua, should come unto me. For lo, as the sound of thy salutation came into mine ears, the babe in my womb leapt in exultation, and happy is she who hath believed that there shall be a perfecting of the things which has been spoken to her from Yahweh. And that's going to be Yahweh. So we knew that. Now we go on about the neighbors in 57. Okay, something's really happening in this area of Israel, because you got old ladies giving birth, Elizabeth as a sign, a guy who can't speak anymore, the priest, all right, and this. And so, guess what? People are talking. People are talking about this incident.
What's the name of Yahushua wasn't supposed to be? Remember, they were like, why are you...
Well, this is going to be John, Johanna. Let's see right here. 57, and to Elizabeth was the time fulfilled that she should be bringing forth, and she gave birth to a son. And her neighbors and kinfolks heard. So look at that. We got neighbors and kinfolks who are tuned in to the prophet who is preparing the way for Yahweh. And that Yahweh had magnified his mercy with her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it came to pass on the eighth day that they came to circumcise a child, and they called it after the name of its father, Zechariah. See, that's a good thing you can hear. He keeps the pronouns correct. Mm-hmm. Most people are going to say he, because they know the baby's a he. But when you say the word child, is that masculine, feminine, or neuter?
Neuter.
It's neuter. And the word's neuter. But people are going to change pronouns in other Bibles, but why Rothman's going to say faithful to it. And it says it. We can't call a child it. Yeah. And after the manner of the name of his father, Zechariah, and his mother answering said, nay, but he shall be called Yohanan. And they said unto him, there's no one among thy kinsmen who is called by his name. And as we know, Yohanan is his name. Oh, let's just keep going, I guess. And asking for a small tablet, he rose, saying, Yohanan is his name, and they marveled all. And his mouth was opened instantly, and his tongue loosened, and he began to speak blessing Yahweh. And fear came upon all the neighbors. Now watch this. How many people are going to know about Christ's ministry? Well, we know kinfolk and neighbors are part of this right now, on day one. Themselves, and throughout all the hill country of Judea. Look at that. And through all the hill country of Judea, they knew. Were all those matters being much talked about. And all who heard laid them up in their hearts, saying, what then shall this child be? For even the hand of Yahweh was with him, and Zechariah ends up prophesying. So we throughout all the hill country of Judea talked about it. Now we go to 76. And even thou child, prophet of the Most High, shall be called, for thou shalt march on before Yahweh to prepare his ways. You can say, well, it says the Lord here. Well, as you can see right here, it's quoting, that's Malachi 3:1. But we're going to see Isaiah. Where is that? Isaiah 40. Keep your finger in Luke. Isaiah 40, verse 3 to 5. And since there's no Yahweh in the New Covenant in the Greek, there's only Kurios or Theos that has been erased. You never know, but in 40 verse 3, the prophecy of Yohanan, or John, is, you want to read that, Aaron, 3?
Chapter 40, verse 3.
Yeah. Wait a minute. 3 through 6, or 3 through 5.
A voice of one crying, in the desert, prepare ye the way of Yahweh. Make smooth in the waste plain a highway for our Elohim. Let every valley be exalted, and every mountain and hill be made low, and the steep ground become level, and the chain of hills a plain. Then shall he reveal the glory of Yahweh, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of Yahweh hath spoken.
So that is, prepare the way of the Lord is prepare the way of Yahweh. Now we go back to chapter 2, verse 8. Yahushua's birth. Okay, the announcement. So we got all Judeans talking about Yohanan being born. And then, I think 6 months later, Yahushua was born. And there were shepherds in the same country, dwelling in the field, and keeping the watches of the night over their flock, and a messenger of Yahweh stood over them, and the glory of Yahweh shone round about them, and they feared a great fear. And the messenger said unto them, be not afraid, for lo, I bring you glad good tidings of a great joy, the which shall be for all the people, that there hath been born unto you this day a Savior, who is Mashiach. Now think of that. We are telling the shepherds, who is this person? Mashiach. Christ is Greek for Christos. And so the Hebrew is Mashiach. And another interesting thing, I think, Christ is an adjective, which is interesting. Like, sweet would be an adjective.
Father is an adjective. No. What is this man? He's a father.
No, that's not an adjective. It's a common noun. So, Mashiach is a common noun. An adjective describes a noun. Remember that? Mm-hmm. So, if I say a sweet father, sweet is the adjective that is highlighting father. So, Christos is an adjective. I don't know quite the significance right now. But Mashiach is a noun, a common noun. Just something a little throw out there. Who is the Mashiach, the Lord, in the city of David? Just like it promised, because that was Micah, said, where is the Messiah going to be born? It's going to be in Bethlehem, the house of bread. Laham is bread. Beth is house of bread. And this too is a sign, you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. We know that. And we go to, let me see here. Well, yeah, I guess I better keep reading some of the things I didn't go over. 13, and suddenly there came to be with the messenger the throng of the heavenly host, praising Yahweh and saying, glory in the highest unto Yahweh. and on earth peace among men of goodwill. And it came to pass when the messengers had departed from them into heaven, and the shepherds began to say one to another, let us go. You know, isn't this great? Who's being told?
Yeah.
And that's like us.
The humble ones.
We're like nobodies in the church circle.
Yeah.
So in the Christian church circle, they weren't even informed of it. It was shepherds. It was the kinfolk of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And we're going to see all sorts of stuff. This over and over and over. The unimportant people. And that's us. Let us go forth as far as to Bethlehem and see this thing which hath come to pass, which Yahweh hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found both Miriam and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they beheld, they made known concerning things which had been told them as his child. And all who heard marveled concerning the things which had been told by the shepherds unto them. But Mary was closely observing all these things, putting them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, giving glory and singing praises unto Yahweh over all things which they had heard, seeing according as been told them. All that heard marveled. Where is that? Oh, 18. And all who heard, the shepherds marveled concerning the things which had been told by the shepherds unto them. So this is like almost a parenthetical thing. So the shepherds are telling people, guess what? Who's born?
The Mashiach
is born. That's revolutionary news. This is something that Jerusalem has been waiting for 4,000 years. It finally is coming. Now we go to 25. That's Simeon. And lo, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel. And holy Ruach was upon him. And it had been intimated to him by the Ruach HaKodesh that he should not see death before he should see what?
The Mashiach.
The Mashiach of Yahweh, the anointed of Yahweh. So we know the shepherds told everybody, this is the Mashiach. He's been born. Simeon, 8 days later, we realize that he came in the Ruach into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Yahushua, that they might do according to that which was customary by the law concerning it. And we know that case. We know the Mashiach of Yahweh. Now we go to 36 and 38, which is Anna, and that's, her name is really Hannah, which is favor. That's Hebrew. These are all Greek names. And so what they did is, the Greeks, you know, just like with Miriam, they changed to Maria, to Mary. They changed Jeremiah. If you read the old King James, you'll see it's Jeremias. Elijah, they'll say Elias. And that's, Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin all use the old King James. And so, you know what they took out of the end of the name?
Yeah.
Think of that. Yah. And so, when it says Elijah, it's really Eli is El, strong. Yah is El. And so, it's always Y-A-H or J-H. And so, the new translations added the J-H. And so, what you find out in the New Testament, they completely erased Yah and Yahweh from people's names and from themselves. You know, and so it's Elias, Elijah, Jeremiah, us, and they completely erase that. And we know that Elijah, well, I won't go there.
Yeah.
I got sidetracked. 36, this is Hannah. And there was one Hannah, a prophetess, daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. God, this is, what a woman here. The same advanced in many days, having lived with her husband 7 years after virginity, and she had been a widow for as long as 84 years. So just think of that. 84 plus 7 is 91. And then she got married when she was 13. Mm-hmm. So she'd be, 91 plus 101, 105 years old.
My mom was 8.
Yeah, about the same like this. So this is Hannah, and she's still cooking. She's still working.
Yeah.
In the temple. And left not the temple. Now, okay, let's go to 30. Let's keep reading. Left not the temple with fasting and supplication, for rendering divine service night and day, In that very hour coming near, she began to give thanks unto Yahweh and to watch. What's she going to do? To speak concerning him unto who?
All.
Who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So you have testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony. The Mashiach is here, the Mashiach is here, the Mashiach is here. He's been born. Now, we're going to skip and go to Matthew 2. You know, Matthew, it really begins with him at being 2 years of age. And so we know the all the Christmas stuff is wrong. You know, so the first thing is not December 25th, you know, which we're going to find out.
It's actually, you're breaking my heart.
I know. Yeah, it's not, he wasn't born on December 25th. That's winter, for God's sakes. Israel has winter, too. You don't have people coming to be taxed in wintertime. Mm-hmm. You know, you have them come to the feast.
After the harvest.
Yeah, the Feast of Booths. Because everybody, all the males are required to come to the Feast of Booths. This is after harvest, and they're going to be there for 7 days. That's when you're talking. We're going to find out Yahushua was born, to the best of our knowledge, on Tishri 1, which is the seventh month. You know, where was I?
My month of my birth, actually.
Okay.
You're correcting Christmas.
Oh, yeah, it's not Christmas. Oh, and there's the wise men were not there. It was 2 years later, and that's why when Herod said, "When did you see the star?" 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's why he's killing the children, two and under. Mm-hmm. And so they came 2 years later, and so you've got all this commingling of people don't know what they're doing. You got the wise men in the stables, you know, giving gifts and all this stuff, and it's just. You know, you can't go by tradition. You got to go back to the book. But 2 verse 1, and when Yahushua, and what does Yahushua mean? Yahweh. This is why they don't want it. What?
Yahweh is salvation.
Yeah, Yah is salvation. Yahweh is salvation. Jesus means nothing. The word Jesus, which is the Greek word for Iesus, has no meaning whatsoever. And so we wipe that out. We wipe out Yah is salvation to Jesus. Jesus. Yeah. But you look at that. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Lo, wise men from eastern parts came unto Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that had been born?" Yeah, this is a great occasion. These guys really make an uproar when they come into town. We got some high-class people coming.
Yeah.
Maybe 15, 20 camels. You know, with all their gear and everything else, and coming into a foreign land. But we saw his star in the east and have come to bow down to him. And this is very important, too. The word worship isn't in this book. In other translations, it will be. What they're going to do is selectively change bow down to worship when they think it's convenient. You know, so it's bow down. It's bow down. So these guys bow down. To him, that we may bow down to him, and other translations will probably say worship him. It doesn't say worship him, it says bow down. That's what, and the word worship does not mean bow down. You know what worship means, the word? And a good way to do this is just go back to our foundation, and you say worship etymology, and it will say worthy. Worship comes from worthy. Well, worthy has nothing to do with bowing down. You know, so the word worship has nothing to do with bowing down. But when King Herod heard, he was troubled and all. Look at this. They're coming to find a Mashiach, and guess what? All of Jerusalem's going to hear about. All of Jerusalem. This is 2 years later. All of Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the high priests and scribes of the people who inquired them, where is the Mashiach to be born? And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. So now, this is 2 years later, this stuff's going on. Now we go, well, I think you know the rest. Well, let's just keep reading. 6, and now Bethlehem, land of Judea, by no means least art thou among the governors of Judea. And out of these shall come forth one as governor, who shall shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod, privately calling the wise men, ascertained from them the time of the appearing star, and sending them to Bethlehem, said, go search out accurately concerning the child, and as soon as you find what?
It.
Not he. It, because the child is neuter. Bringing report unto me that I also may come and bow myself, and they're going to change it to worship. Mm-hmm. That's the word bow. It was where we get the word bow. Mm-hmm. You know? Bowing and bow are the same thing.
Yep.
Dive down to it. Now they hearing the king went, and lo, the star which had been in the east was going before them until it was went and stood over where the child was. And seeing the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Isn't that great? What a heart. And people have to realize, these are Hebrews. No, they're Magi from the east. Well, wait a minute here. Where do the Hebrews get taken when they were taken from Jerusalem?
Into the east.
To Babylon.
Babylon, yeah.
Where was Daniel? Where was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Where was Mordecai? Where was Hadassah? Where was Jeremiah? Not Jeremiah. Nehemiah. These are all Hebrews. And so when they came back to rebuild the temple, a lot of people stayed. Mm-hmm. And so we ought to make them unbelievers. No, these are probably Hebrews coming from Babylon, coming in to worship the king. But they'll put him down as heathens.
Where's Babylon now?
Yeah, Babylon. Iraq. So you've got Jerusalem right here.
It's Iraq.
And Babylon's right here. And then you've got Susa, which is Persia, right here. So you got Persia, Chaldeans, Babylon, and then you got Jerusalem.
What's in between?
Well, the problem is a desert.
Oh, yeah.
So you can't go this way. It's a desert. So you have to go up and down. So it's a long journey. But that's where Babylon is. That's Nebuchadnezzar.
Iran is Persia.
Yeah.
Iraq is Babylon.
I digress. Let me see. Oh, let me see here. But that's it. Nine. I think I'll start there. Now they hearing the king went, and lo, and the star which had been before the east was going before them until it went and stood over where the child was. And seeing the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And coming into the house, they saw the child with Miriam, its mother, see, its. And falling down, prostrate themselves unto what?
It.
Well, you can't say that. That's blasphemy. That's what the text say. That's what the text say. Don't change the pronouns.
Right.
Because once you start changing the pronouns, I can't trust you.
What else?
Because the word spirit is... Is in Greek, is it masculine, feminine, or neuter?
It's neuter.
Neuter. It. Spirit is it. So anytime they change spirit to he, they have just changed the pronoun. It's not part of the text. The word spirit is neuter. And in Hebrew, it's feminine. And falling down, prostrated themselves unto it, and opening their treasures offered unto it, gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Why were these gifts given? To fund their travel to Egypt. You're going to be going to a country and you need money. So here's gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Great. Here's your 401k. Take it with you, shepherd or young couple. And being instructed by them not to return unto Herod. Let me see here. I keep going. Y'all stop there. Now we go to 16. Then Herod, seeing that he had been mocked by the wise men, was exceedingly enraged, and went and slew all the male children that were in Bethlehem, and all the bounds from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had ascertained from the wise men. And as you know, everybody in Jerusalem knew that, because they were searching. The guys were looking for the Mashiach. They said they're here, and they don't come back, and Herod kills everybody in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem, 2 years and under. Let me see here. Okay. Okay, now we go back to Luke 2:41. 10 years later, so we've got the birth, all of Jerusalem knows. We got 2 years later, with the Magi, how much more information do you need?
Yeah.
How much more information do you need that the Mashiach is here? These guys come in with their, I think of that Donald Trump. You know, you got maybe 15 limousines pulling up with flags on the car and everything else. Somebody's big in town. He's supposed to come into Bethlehem. Somebody's really important coming into. And now we go to Luke 41. And we know about him being in the temple, 12 years old. 41 to 43. Aaron, you want to read 41 to 43?
And it came to pass that as Elizabeth heard the salutation...
No. Luke, am I in the right place? 2, 41. And his parents used to journey yearly.
And his parents used to journey yearly into the Jerusalem at the Feast of Passover. And when he became 12 years, and they went up according to the custom of the feast, and completed the days, and then were returning, the boy, Yehoshua, remained behind in Jerusalem. His parents noticed it not.
Okay, now we're going to 47. And watch. Now all who heard him, Yehoshua, were what?
Amazed.
Beside themselves. Wait a minute here. The Messiah is supposed to be here. 2 years, 10 years ago. The Messiah was born 10 years ago. Now here, this guy.
12 years ago.
Ten years ago,
the massacre.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 10 years, it was a massacre 12 years ago. And all who heard him were beside themselves. I mean, that doesn't happen. Now, sorry, Melania. When you were 12, we were never beside ourselves on your intellect.
You're still picking your nose.
Yeah, because of his understanding and his answers. And so here's another manifestation of the deal. But all who heard him were beside themselves, Jerusalem and the teachers. Now we go to Mark 1. Mark 1:4-8. John the Immerser came in the wilderness proclaiming the immersion of repentance. And Yahushua did the same thing, and that's why he's also preparing the way for Yahweh, is repent, repent, repent. Why? Because the day of Yahweh's coming. The judgment's coming, and if you don't repent, guess what? You're gonna get it.
You're gonna reap what you sow.
Yeah, you're gonna get it. So John the Immerser came into the wilderness proclaiming the immersion of repentance for remission of sins, and there was going forth unto him all of the Judea country. Now think of that. How many people is he going to tell about the Mashiach? John the Immerser is baptizing these people. Hey, guess what? Don't I have a cousin that was born supernaturally? Wasn't Elizabeth and cousins with Miriam? Yeah. And does John the Immerser's mother know about the Mashiach?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he does. Yes, she does. Did she tell her son about the Mashiach? Hey, he's your cousin. And they all at Jerusalem were being immersed by him in the Jordan River, openly confessing their sins. And Yohanan was clothed with camel hair and a leather girdle about his loin, and he was eating locusts and wild honey. And proclaimed, saying, "He that is mightier than I cometh after me." Who is that? The Mashiach. "Of whom I am not worthy to stoop and unloosen the straps of his sandals. I have immersed you with water. He will immerse you with holy ruach." Who else told the people about the Mashiach? Yohanan. John the Immerser. Oh, yeah. Telling about the Messiah is coming. The Mashiach is coming. Let's see here. And he's mightier than I. Now we go to... We know that Yahushua... It was how old when he started his ministry?
About
30. Got me. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And so he was not 30. So we can tell you it was not 30. And so here's another interesting thing, because in let's go to Numbers 4, verse 1 through 3.
What scripture says he was about 30? Do you not find?
Yeah, I've got that. It's in Luke 3:23.
Okay.
And now we're going to go to Numbers 4:1-3. And this was for priests. Then spake Yahweh unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Reckon up the sons of Korah, and out of the midst of the sons of Levi, by their families, by their ancestral house, from what?
30 years
of old, and upward even unto what?
50
years, everyone that can enter into the host to do service unto the tent of meetings. And so my hypothesis is, why did he not wait till 30? Because I think Satan was waiting until he's 30. I mean, you're supposed to be 30 when you do this, and this is where we're bringing everybody together. Guess what? Surprise! I'm doing it when I'm 29. Time clock! You know, I got people over here in Babylon and people like that I wanted to bring here to attack you, but now I can't get them together because it's a surprise attack. You came early. So, according to, and this is something we can't get into, but according to the best numbers, the planetary configuration that happened on 3 BC on Tishri 1.
And Tishri is...
Okay, yeah, so Tishri is, the month of Tishri is originally was the first month. And Tishri 1 is Genesis 1-3. And so when Yahweh says, let there be light, that's Tishri 1. And today, that's still the new year for all of Israel. So they support their new year is Tishri 1. Yahweh changed that from Tishri being a new year to what?
Nisan.
And so when they did the Passover, he said, now this is going to be the first month. And so they switched them. So now Nisan is the first month. Tishri is now the seventh. So according to the alignment of the planets that could have happened in the other situation, there's a great book called Jesus Christ, the Promised Seed by Dr. Worwell. And here's something called The Significance of Tishri 1, which is very important. Tishri 1 was a day of shouting. And if you think about it, what a perfect time for Christ to be born is let there be light, was Genesis 1-3. And so here's light, my son, born on Tishri 1, which was a day of shouting.
So perfect.
Yeah, perfect deal that happened on that. And it's also through the, you know, so people don't realize, this is getting into something else. So we know that he was born on Tishri 1. And he didn't go to Jerusalem. He was only, this is another teaching altogether, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke have him going to Jerusalem once. So Yahushua's ministry is 6 months or less. John is a whole other story whatsoever. We've done that. So we know that, okay, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when is Yahushua in Jerusalem? What day?
Passover. The beginning of Passover.
Okay, which is Nisan the 14th. He's there before Nisan the 14th, but he comes during Nisan. Okay, well, how far is Tishri 1 from Nisan?
7 months.
See, he would have had to have been in, Tishri 1 is also the Festival of Booths, which you're required to be in, all males are required to be in Jerusalem. So there are three feast days that all males are required to be in Jerusalem. They are, anybody want to go?
Passover.
Not Passover, it's called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Oh. Passover is really before the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So 7 days, Feast of Unleavened Bread. The second one is Festival of Weeks, which is, Aaron?
Booths.
No, the Festival of Weeks is Pentecost.
Oh, Pentecost
is what
yeah.
we call Pentecost. And then the third one is Feast of Booths. So you have three feast days that all Hebrew males were required to go. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he's not in Jerusalem any of those times. He's only there once in Passover. And why? Because Jerusalem is Satan's kingdom. This is where you go to be killed. And that's where he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that do what to the prophets?
Slay the prophets.
Slay the prophets. And so why do you stay away from Jerusalem? Because they'll kill you. That's why. And so in John, he's not there. Yeah, I got papers on that. And John is a whole other situation. But now we know, okay, the feast day in Tishri would have had to have been the Feast of Booths, which started on Tishri 15 and ended on the 23rd. 7 days. Okay, he's born on the first, but let's say he had to be in Jerusalem on the Feast of Booths, and then he starts his ministry after Tishri 23. Because he leaves Jerusalem. Everybody follow me?
No.
So he's only in Jerusalem once.
Yeah, I know.
So when's the last, if he's only in once, he's there at a feast of unleavened bread, when was the last feast day?
You said booths, right?
Yeah, booth. No. Yeah, it's Feast of Booths, yeah. So the last feast day is booth, but there's no mention of him ever being in Jerusalem until this. So we're going to have to say, okay, that starts the clock. After it has to be after the Feast of Booths, his ministry begins. You follow me? Okay. So, the end of Tishri, the 23rd is when the festival is over. You got 7 days. So every Hebrew month is 30 days. 7 days. I'm going to try to pronounce these Hebrew months until we get to Nisan. Chesvan, 30 days. Kisli, 30 days. Tevet, 30 days. Shavat, 30 days. Adar, 30 days. And then Nisan, the 14th. So what we've got is 171 days of his ministry, which is 5.7 months ministry on a 30-day calendar.
So that didn't include the 40 days in the wilderness.
Well, it does, yeah.
That does.
Yeah, because what we're going to do is, let's say he starts it after Feast of Booths, which is the 23rd. That's 7 days, and he goes into he goes into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. So, and that shows you that. And so, if you ever want to find out the significance of this and his birth, it's on page 74 of the book. And I can give you the book or download the book. It's called Jesus Christ, the Promise, our Promised Seed. And it goes through all the astronomical signs of when these configurations happen. So it's nice about planets and stuff. You can back them up.
Yeah.
And so on the moon and everything else, we can tell you exactly where the moon was 3 BC on this particular day, because everything is absolutely consistent on the repeating of these things. Okay, so we'll end right there. And I'll go ahead and give a prophecy to the people. But Father, we thank you for these words, our Lord and Savior, Mashiach Yahushua. Be bold. You are my sons and my daughters, in whom I have been credited with great treasures that put upon your heart not to hide from the people, but to manifest and to give it to people, to open their ears to my truth and not for their traditions, to set them free from the darkness that they're bound by into my marvelous light, that they also may set the other captives free, as my son Yahushua Mashiach did for you. Amen. See you next week.